The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
It is Pat and Stu. Welcome. 888-727-BECK. Almost to Labor Day weekend here. And there's some problems, of course, developing here in Texas and around the country. Either gas prices are rising, as may be the case in your area right now, and we're even experiencing some actual shortages here in the Metroplex when we're 4 hours away from Houston. Imagine what it's like there. I mean, you're not getting gas there.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, obviously, that's a total disaster, and we, you know, that is a, it's a meltdown right now in Houston, obviously. I luckily did check my, I've got 47 miles left in my tank. Just a little bit less than a quarter of a tank, which I think is the right place to be right around now.
It's the right place.
You don't want to have more than that, yeah. Because then, you know what, you'll get people, the looters who are taking the gas out of your tank. You want to keep a minimum amount of gas and be prepared, because it's not like you come on TV and you do, you know, let's say commercials for preparedness every day. So you want to make sure you're prepared with a full quarter tank of gas. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you full?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think I'm going to, I mean, I'll probably fill up today if I can find a place.
Last night we started, we kind of got into a panic situation because we were looking at the internet about the shortage. And so like at 11 o'clock at night, we went out to get gas.
That was a good call.
Yeah, I thought so.
I should have done that
myself. I especially think it was a good call
But then
today.
I sent my wife out today. She took care of it.
She took care of what?
I sent her out to fill up the car. You know, not my car, the car, but I sort of made sure that she went out and filled up her car so we had at least one car with a full tank of gas.
So wait, hold on. I just want to make sure I understand.
So I took care of that.
So your car is not filled, and then you, as the tough guy, told your wife to fill up her car.
Hey, get up and go fill your car up so we have one vehicle that has a full tank of gas.
And she,
go take care of that this morning immediately.
And she listened to you and executed
it? Well, actually, she did. She did.
Did she? And so she successfully.
So you've got a full tank.
No, she doesn't have a full tank of gas because she looked at the lines and said, "I screw that."
There's. Oh, that's interesting.
I've got three quarters of a tank.
That would seem to have defied your order.
I've got three quarters of a tank. I'm not going to mess with. Well, I'll deal with it when I get home.
Uh huh.
I may be taking out the little.
Right. I know.
You know. I mean, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
I'm not even sure. Like, I guess. Look, there's got to be. We're not at a real gas shortage situation, I don't think. But it's going to get bad.
It's going to seem like it, though.
The near future is going to get
bad. Yeah.
And it's so weird. We've all been through these things.
Sure have.
It's all hit us. But you go a few years without them, and man, all of a sudden it seems so foreign. It seems so like this could only happen in Sri Lanka. It's like, no! It happens here all the time.
What are we in Mumbai?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of amazing how that happens. You really lose perspective on that right away.
Yeah, I know.
12 years.
I mean, that,
you know, even when these things were happening on, you know, day to day, it felt like 3-4 big storms a year. I felt like all we dealt with as a country were hurricanes, and that's why Al Gore put it in his movie poster because he knew that was what people were most scared about at the time.
Were huge years for hurricanes.
Terrible. And then you give 12 years off. And no one says Al Gore was wrong for those 12 years.
Except us,
and a few people on the right. And then when they come back, immediately Al Gore's right again. It's incredible.
The second the first hurricane rolls in. This is proof of global. If you don't believe in global warming, look at Houston. Oh, okay. So I was supposed to ignore the previous 12 years? And this is the one piece of evidence that I do take into account? Okay. All right. I mean, that's the logic of the left.
I got it now. Just this one.
It's how they have it both ways on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as the catastrophic the flooding continues, even as some of the waterways in Houston are receding, almost all waterways in and around the city had crested, and floodwaters were slowly receding. on Wednesday. But the region still faces an incredible task to come out of this devastation. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take not just days, weeks, months, probably years. It's probably,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at New Orleans several years after Katrina, and they still have visual evidence of what happened to them. I mean, there's still places that that need to be tended to that haven't been yet. I'm hoping Houston recovers a little bit better, but there's some good news on water levels that came hours after the storm made a second landfall in Louisiana, not far from the Texas border. The rain had stopped in Houston. The port city of Port Arthur was hit hard after a shelter was flooded and had to be evacuated. The storm continues to dump on Louisiana. It's going to move on to Arkansas, Tennessee, and Missouri. So this thing isn't over yet, and it's just a huge water event. You're not going to obviously have the high winds, but you'll have a lot of water, a lot of rain.
Yeah. By the way, I was there's a really interesting story, and I know we don't have it. It was one of those things that seemed a little too geeky to actually put on the show, but I'm going to attempt it anyway here. 538 has a story about how we need to really get rid of the idea of 100-year storms and 500-year storms.
Well, now we're talking. This says a 1,000-year storm.
But what their point is, it's a dumb way to measure it.
Yeah, it
right?
is.
Right? You know, they're talking about a 500-year storm in Houston. Well, they've only had records. They don't have records that go back 500 years. They have no idea if it's a 500-year storm.
We weren't a country 500 years ago.
Exactly.
There was nobody in Houston 500 years ago.
Exactly.
We don't have scribes anywhere.
No, those aren't real terms. Like, they're terms that kind of, like, make you think, okay, well, they don't mean what you think they mean, and so they're talking about coming up with a new way of kind of telling people how bad these storms are, because, you know, even if you like, whether you, it's a very convenient measurement, and it's a reason you see it heard all the time for two reasons. Number one, sounds like holy crap, there hasn't been a storm in this place like this in 1,000 years.
It's impactful.
It's clickbait. It feels really interesting to say it. It makes you, I can't believe I'm going through this historic event. It puts people it makes the story feel more important. And second of all, it makes, for global warming people, makes it seem like, oh my God, this should have never happened, and here it is. Of course, that is not, by definition, what a 100-year storm means. If you had 10 100-year storms in the same area in 5 years, then you might say, okay, there looks like there's an increase. We've seen no trend on that at all. In fact, there's a stat in the Wall Street Journal today, if you go check that out, it is a graph on the cost, global weather-related disaster losses as a percentage of GDP from 1990 to 2017. It has actually fallen by about almost 40%. Global weather-related disaster losses as a proportion of global GDP. So again, it's the percentage of global GDP. What have we lost? And I think you can make an argument to think, oh, wow, well, we're building buildings closer to the water. There's a lot of reasons why that might even be a higher number. Instead, it's fallen by about 40% since 1990.
Wow.
So again, like, you know, and that could be because we're building buildings better. We've obviously had a 12-year drought of hurricanes here in the United States, which helps that number.
Capitalism has raised GDP.
Yeah, and capitalism has helped raise GDP around the world. Mm-hmm. So the peak... the peak, like, so far, is 2016, for example. We don't know what 2017 is going to be, though we know it's going to be higher than 2016 just because of Harvey by itself. But it had fallen. The peak was 2005, which was the Katrina year. 2016, the difference between those is a drop of about 80%. 80%!
Wow.
And really, it's solely because of Katrina in 2005. You see the trend. Yeah. It's a pretty good fall.
Yeah. AccuWeather is now saying, I think you were using the earlier this week, the number $42 billion for devastation.
Yeah, they got a new number.
They're saying $160 billion.
Wow, and that's...
$160 billion.
Wow, because that's...
Making it the costliest natural disaster in U.S. history.
In U.S. history, because Katrina was right around 160, right? It was 146.
140 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
In that neighborhood.
It's got to be more than that for Houston.
It's got to be. Well,
I guess you're probably right. I mean, I think, you know... it's a much more spread out area, right?
Yeah.
And also, by the way, you can't discount you know, the areas around Corpus Christi, they got slammed by the wind and are wiped out.
Wiped out.
And the areas to the east, going into Louisiana and, and in eastern Texas, where it's not like Houston, but it's really bad. Yeah. I mean, and they've never seen waters like this before.
Yeah, it's, I mean, this is just devastating. About 30,000 people taking refuge in about 200 shelters or so. 1,800 evacuees have been moved into hotels and other longer-term housing options. One site that's going to apparently get back to normal is Minute Maid Park. The Astros announced they're coming back home, and on Sunday they'll start a three-game series against the Mets. So, I mean, they're doing some normal things, trying to get back to some kind of normalcy in Houston. The game, you know, that I'm pretty interested in this weekend, BYU-LSU, was supposed to be at Energy Stadium in Houston, and obviously that would not have been possible. So they moved that to New Orleans, which is getting hit right now.
And for people who don't think Pat's a real fan, obviously he's changed his trip and he's now going to the game in New Orleans. Pretty impressive, Pat.
Yeah, except I'm not.
Oh, I'm sorry? What was the...
Yeah, except no. Exactly what you said, but no.
So you're not going to the game in New Orleans?
I got a refund and I thought, nah, I'm not going 8 hours, no.
Tough one. I mean, it really...
Yeah, and it's a good thing because I'm not even sure there's gas along the way.
Yeah, well, you got to fly that thing. You got to fly it. You know, 8 hours is too long to drive, I've decided.
Well,
I made that decision. I made trips from Connecticut to Florida when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now, 2 hours is kind of my max. really, I think four hours is about as long as I ever want to drive. And I've done both. Houston is about four and a half hours from here, roughly, as Pat drives, an hour and a half. Four and a half hours from here. And I've done it both ways. Mm-hmm. I've driven down there and I've flown. And, like, it's just not quite
as
good
fast
enough to fly.
Because,
and particularly with Houston, the locations of the airports blow in Houston. At least the ones I've flown. I mean, there's two of them, right?
Bush and Hobby.
And Hobby. I can't remember which one I went into when I flew there. But the flight is like 26 minutes. I mean, it's like
you're up and
super
down.
Quick. You're up and down. But you got the security. You've got to be there early. Then when you land, you're still 40 minutes away from the actual city. Like, and it's like, all right, well, no, it's really not really worth it. But like if you're flying, like San Diego is a good example of this. San Diego's airport is like basically in between two buildings downtown. it's awesome because you fly into
there. It is amazingly close to downtown
San
Diego.
And you're right there. There's a few of them like that.
Yeah.
And when it's like that, I would, you know, I'd even cut that shorter, you know, because if you're driving, you know, the other side of this is Bradley Airport. In Hartford, which is it's actually when you think it's Hartford, you're like, oh, I drive through Hartford and then I'm at Bradley. Except for the 30 minutes longer you have to keep driving until you get to Bradley. But I live on the shoreline of Connecticut, so we would fly into Bradley and then it's like an hour 40 minutes until we get home.
We're home.
It's like,
no, we're not.
That was longer than the flight.
It's obnoxious.
That's important. But I would think New Orleans. I don't remember where the airport is there. But you could just fly in there, Pat. Just do it really easy. And I bet the tickets are probably cheaper. I bet you could do that whole trip.
And one thing New Orleans has a lot of is cab rides. I mean, they got a lot of cabs. You got a lot of Uber in and out of no problem, right from the airport.
Really? Is that true?
A lot of cabs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Uber.
Okay. Because I would say, like, because of the ticket price difference, which I would assume would be considerably lower, considering they're moving it out of there.
The most expensive seat in the house, $250, which is quite different from the Houston prices.
Yeah, way higher, right? Because people were planning trips around it like you. I bet you could take the flight and the ticket and get down there and back for the same price.
Or less.
Probably could.
I'm just trying to talk about
it. But I'm just not doing that.
And the good thing is that the seat in the Superdome will be just as comfortable.
Superdome is not a good stadium, I'll be honest with you.
No,
it is not.
We were walking around there, I was there the year that we kind of talked about this a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
The Super Bowl year, the lights went out in the middle of the game. So that shows you how crappy the stadium was.
Yeah.
There are times where, like, you know, there's a lot of people in the stadium. However, they're pretty certain about how many might be there, right? You know why? Because they've got seats, and there's only that many people that can be in the stadium. Like, it's not like a surprise. Like, they're like, oh, my gosh, we sold out the Super Bowl. Like, that's not a thing. And beyond that, you walk around the outskirts.
Do they normally sell out a Super Bowl?
I think technically.
I mean, have they done that consecutively, though?
Yeah, like two or three in a row, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty big event.
Huh.
But the other thing is, whether they sell it out or not, like, it's not like, okay, you could say the sellout thing has to do with concession stands. You might say, okay, well, they sold it out and they didn't have enough concession stands open. They're morons. No, this is way worse than that. This is the amount of people walking through the stadium in a sellout game leads you into these little tiny, like, crevices between the seats and the walls that feel like you're in, like, a normal hallway. It's, like, that narrow. Mm. So there's these little, like, funnels, and you just wind up standing there waiting for this funnel to empty out for 5, 6, 7 minutes at a time.
Wow.
I mean, it is really, you know, again, it's not a good stadium. It has now, horrible, horrible things that have happened, but now in New Orleans has become a point of, like, you know what, we brought this thing back, and we can now have games there and Super Bowls, and it's great. Like, it's no longer the Katrina place. But it really is a crap heap of a stadium. It's just old. You know, yeah. It was
it's
probably
been there for a long time now.
Yeah, it's just old, and it's, you know, yeah. You go to these other parks
is
around the country.
That's got to be. Is that the oldest standing one that they're using now? I mean, it's got to be, right?
I bet it is. I'll bet it is.
Wow.
Because all the rest of them are not using anymore.
Yeah.
We'll have to look that up.
I want to give a shout out, though, because I did have to, you know, scrap all my plans and try to get refunds. And I thought that was going to be an impossible process.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, the people at StubHub are great. Jeez. I didn't have to even call them. They just emailed me and said, hey, yep, you got your refund. All.
So you didn't even have
to contact
them.
Total and complete refund, including all fees.
That's great.
Like, wow.
Yeah, StubHub's good, man.
That's a pretty good business.
I mean, look, the StubHub fees are excessive.
Steep. I would say.
They're price gouging me.
$76 per ticket.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So when you're paying $400 per ticket to begin with and then another $76.
Yeah, it can be 10, 20, 25% sometimes. Oof. I don't know what the formula is. It just feels like they just charge me a lot. That being said, though, the customer service is really good there.
Really good.
They do a good job. They guarantee
the tickets. I'll
do business
with them again, that's
for
sure. Yeah,
definitely. By the way, a Travis Sham mockery has occurred here on the program. A travesty, a sham, mm-hmm. and a mockery.
Okay.
As Pat Gray, mm-hmm. supposedly a fan of the Green Bay Packers, has forgotten that Lambeau Field would be the oldest stadium.
Oh, well, I was talking domed.
Yeah,
I was thinking domed.
Too. I was thinking of the, you know, the landmarks.
I was thinking domed.
Because Lambeau Field is not a landmark.
What are you talking about?
Oh, of course.
It's people the in
Green
field.
Bay, what?
People in Green Bay think it is.
It's almost
not.
Sacred.
It's not.
Lambeau Field is nearly sacred.
No, it nearly is.
You're
not
blaspheming, my friend.
And so, and you want the asterisks to this. I guess you could say, because, I mean, I guess Soldier Field has been so updated over the years, but that actually opened technically in 1924.
Wow, are they still using Soldier Field?
We're still using the Coliseum.
I thought they moved out of
the Coliseum, too, in L.A.
And then the Coliseum is the other one.
Yeah, but they're building
a new one. Which the Rams is a temporary stadium, 1923, that one. So technically that's old. But you got to remember, I was surprised you didn't remember that. Also, Oakland Raiders, 1956. Chiefs in 1972. As well.
Wow.
There's a few other examples there.
But I was, again, thinking dome, too.
So, because you had the Astrodome, which obviously closed, and the Superdome, there was the Superdome, the Silverdome, which is
Silver
closed.
Dome.
The one
closed.
In Seattle is closed.
Closed.
Kingdome.
Yeah.
That's closed. I mean, the Blue Jays Stadium came out, it was the 90s, which is not a football stadium, obviously, but that one, when you go there, and I've been there, as you know, the catch happened there.
And one of the other things, I don't know.
Was it the anniversary?
I don't want to speak for Pat, but when we were thinking of domes, we were also thinking of domes, you know, here in America.
Yeah, no.
Right.
I realize that.
Again, true.
But, I mean, you go to the Sky Dome, which is now called the Rogers Center, as obviously everyone knows here.
We're well-versed.
The Blue Jays, only 10
Toronto
games under
Blue
500,
Jays.
Really keeping everybody's interest.
Facts.
If they win the next 30, though, they're in good position to get the wild card.
Oh, good.
But
how many games are left?
That's not hard.
Well, now it's about 29. I think they'd have to win all 29 to get to 90 wins, which would not make. But anyway, the issue with that dome is, first of all, it's cavernous. It's gigantic. It feels like it's not intimate at all, right? Like they talk about stadiums being intimate. It's not intimate at all. And it's like just concrete kind of everywhere. And it's an amazing feat of engineering. The first retractable dome, if I remember correctly. See that thing. I mean, it's not like the new ones, which are like, oh, this is easy. We'll just close this roof. It's not like that. It's like, here's the most gigantic piece of concrete in history as it closes. But it feels archaic when you go there now.
Really?
And that is right downtown, so I don't know if they're ever going to move it. I mean, it's got such a great location.
I like downtown stadiums.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, it's the best. That's another one. San Diego does that right, too. San Diego does everything.
Yes.
Let's be honest about it.
It's a great city. San Diego's just, it's hard to beat San Diego.
Hard to beat it.
But, you know, it's also hard to beat preparedness. And, man.
Geez, is it a good time to learn that lesson?
Yeah. If we've learned anything this week, it should be prepared. I mean, the people of Houston are not going to have open stores for a while. The grocery stores are not going to be open. The gas stations are not open. There's no money in the ATM machine. The banks are closed. So it's a great time, you know, to have an emergency food supply for my Patriot Supply.
Yeah, we're 4.5 hours away from this. We're 4.5 hours away from this, and as Pat drives, an hour and a half. And we're still going to feel the repercussions here. And you know what? You're in Cincinnati. You're in New York. You're probably feeling them, too, at least at the pumps. But when you have a situation like Houston, and to the east of Houston as well, and down the coast towards Corpus, you really have a situation where you could go, in the worst of this, maybe weeks. You might be stranded in your house for weeks.
Could.
And you know, you might say, well, I have some food in my house. It's not a big deal. Well, that's one thing. Another thing, which my Patriot Supply does, you've got a container that's easy to carry and easy to move. And you can have all of this food in one place where you can easily protect it from whatever happens. It's not going to be easy to go in there and take everything off your pantry. This is all put together. It's super easy. And you're going to have up to a month, really, 102 servings now. And for $99, it's shipped free. It's really a fantastic deal.
Yeah, and you get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It includes really delicious things like the creamy chicken rice and so many other great recipes that they've come up with over the years. Store is really easy. It's less than a dollar per serving. Call them today. 888-411-5290.
Yeah, but Pat.
Yeah.
I need clean water. I don't have any clean water in these floods. What could I do? Well, how could I get clean water out of a flood?
That's a good
question. There's no way. I mean, you're going to need that to prepare this food.
It's a really, really good question. Yeah. You could also ask them about their water filtration system.
Ah, the Alexa Pure Pro,
which is phenomenal.
That's probably a good time to think about that as well right now, because and they can handle that for you as well. And that, you know, this is not what this commercial is about, but that will actually take, you could take like legit flood waters, run it through this filter
you
and
can.
Drink it. It's
you
that
literally
good of a filter.
Can.
It's something you want to have on your side.
888-411-5290. Get this off your list and get this off your back and rest easy. Preparewiththeblaze.com. That's preparewiththeblaze.com. Hi, it's Pat Stu, 888-727-BECK. A couple of little things that are going on around the country. There's a serial killer in Kansas City whose goal was to kill all white people.
Man, that's a hefty goal.
I wouldn't necessarily call him a serial killer then.
No, it's true.
I'm sorry, what did he say he wanted to do again?
Wanted to kill all white people.
I kind of think of him as anti-wa.
Okay, he's anti-white.
White.
Anti-white.
But I mean, white people are the devil, so I mean, it's really...
So it's okay.
I think, like, I would say yes.
Apparently, he was successful in killing five white people.
Are you really? I thought this was just a guy who got, I have not heard this story. This is a guy who just got snagged. I thought it was somebody who just got snagged talking about it on the internet.
No, this guy had his mind set on killing all white people.
You have to excuse my nationwide awareness as our state is half
underwater.
Yeah,
we've kind of become a little
overwhelmed here.
Yeah.
But wow, geez, really, five people. Yeah. Did they catch him?
Yeah.
No? Okay, that's good.
They hope they have him. I mean, this is their big suspect, and he apparently is the guy who wants to kill all white people. So we got that going for us. Also,
we've
the Pope.
Seen that before, by the way. I mean, that was the people who were.
But that's not a racial crime. You know, it's not a hate crime.
It's not a hate crime.
No.
Because, I mean,
they hate love.
They hate a particular race.
Yeah, he wants to put them in, I think his goal is, now he didn't say this, but I think I can assume, he just wants all white people to be in a better place. And he thinks if they die, they'll go to a better place.
Very religious,
yes,
is what you're saying. Okay, that makes sense. You know, and we've had a lot of this conversation over the past few days because of the storm, but the hate crime argument reminds me of the price gouging argument. It's like, one of those things where, like, you know, people, like, I'll say, like, price gouging, like, there is what a person will wants to get for a product they're selling. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is what people will pay for a product that someone else is selling. That's number two. And number three is price gouging. Only number one and number two exist. Number three is not actually a thing. It's just like, as we even heard from the guy who is the chief law enforcement officer of the state, as he pointed out, yeah, no, we'll know when we see it. Like, that was his standard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like... Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with hate crimes. It's like, The point is, like, is it morally right for you to charge too much for a, you know, $500 a bottle for water? Well, of course the answer to that is no. But the only time that really is a legal situation is when someone's forcing you to purchase it. If you are mm-hmm. able to buy it or not buy it, then you are deciding that that is worth it to you. There have been times, in all seriousness, I would have paid $500 to get a car, a cab at a specific time because of what was going on. I've been in crazy situations where there's like, you know, things seem like the whole society around me is about to melt down and mm-hmm. I want to get the hell out of there. There have been times I've been like, you know what? This is going to suck tomorrow, but give me that cab. I don't care what it costs.
Yeah.
And so when you get in those situations, and it's the same thing with, I think, hate crime, is that what people say with price gouging is, yeah, but you can't charge $100 for a bottle of water. Now, first of all, very few people are ever doing that. Very few people would ever pay for it. Mm-hmm. And very few people are actually doing that. But in reality, you're right. It is, I think, really morally awful to try to really profit that much off of one of those things. But it's the same thing with a hate crime. It's morally awful to hate a person because of their race. However, that's not the crime. The crime is the crime. It's a crime. It's not a hate crime. It's a crime. You murder someone, it's a crime. Your motivation, if it makes people around you feel bad, then that is it shouldn't modify what the crime actually is. The crime is a crime because a heart stops beating. That's why a murder is a crime, not because you don't like black people or you don't like white people. And so it's a weird argument, and I think there's a lot of emotions tied to it. But when you take the emotions out of it, I think what you find is, you make better decisions without the emotion. And I think when you're in the middle of a freaking storm, it's understandable to be really emotional about these things. But I think what we've learned out of this, maybe more than anything, is that in the end, the people are pretty, I hate to say this, they're pretty good. People are pretty good.
They seem to be.
They actually kind of just want to help people.
Look at how, contrary to what that author said, who said Houston's not bringing out the best in people, that's bullcrap. It clearly is. And people are pitching in to help each other, and they're not asking for anything in return. The vast majority of people would give up the bottle of water if you really needed it for free. And maybe charge $500 to the person who can afford it.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I think that's legitimate. Like, yeah. And people would say that the person is bad for charging $500. That's where I would completely disagree. If someone's willing to pay $500, as you see we're talking about tickets. I have paid an inordinate amount of money for tickets to go see stupid events that I want to see, i.e. the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Just everyday concerts.
Price gouging me? Is it right for 3 hours of entertainment for them to charge me a four-digit amount?
No.
No! It's a terrible, terrible value. However, I've chosen at that time mm-hmm. That it's worth that to me. Now, you could say, like, wait a minute, my daughter, she's, 6 years old. She's dehydrated. She's going to die. You got to give her the bottle of water. And what is the percentage she gets that water? Or let's even say a few sips of the water. 100%? I mean, if you're rounding it, it absolutely is 100%. 99.9999999%? Mm-hmm. It's, maybe there's one person, and you're looking up, you're about to look at him. There he is. There's one person who says, screw you, kid.
Sorry about that.
You're not my kid.
but even if it was, that actually might get him less chance to get the water. But I mean, like, these aren't things.
Yeah.
The fact that someone wants to charge a bunch of money for gas or whatever. Like, I think it's a way for us to grab control over a situation.
Mm-hmm.
We can get those guys, those bad people who are doing things, like those people with those $42 case of water. We were going back and forth with some people on the internet today, and they said, $42, that's way more. I could get for $5 a case.
Sam's Club's got it for $4.
Costco's got it for $4. And it's like,
Not right now. They don't. You can't even get into Sam's Club.
It's underwater.
It's closed.
It's underwater right now.
So.
And you know what?
It's a different deal.
And the other thing is, like, it's not
charging $100, which some people were. That's a little bit more along the gouging lines.
It's more offensive. I think it was was it Staples or Office Max?
Yes.
And they're charging $42, which is $1.78 a bottle for 20-ounce Dasani is completely normal price. In fact, we know it is.
Absolutely.
It's the price they were charging for the water before the storm. So now we're at the point where we have to say, you know what, guys? You need to lower your prices every time there's a storm. Which, you know what? Mattress Mac certainly did that, right? He did it out of the goodness of a heart, but he should be quite required by the government to do that?
No.
My answer to that is
Bucky's,
absolutely
not. And Bucky's did that by letting all the first responders stay there and eat and do all that.
Oh, that's cool.
Companies are doing
that's nice.
Yeah.
All right. 888-727-BECK. More Pat and Stu is inevitable.
We've been talking about this hurricane quite a bit, it's been made for a lot of long nights, a long freaking week. You do all these shows, and then you've got kids to go home to and play with, and then get up early to come back here. It's been difficult. I need something that's going to take me from dawn to dusk. Conveniently, there's a product named Dawn to Dusk from Brickhouse Nutrition. It's a physician-formulated extended-release energy supplement, which lasts up to 10 hours. It increases your energy, it improves your mood, and it stimulates your brain, all with no jitters. You know me. I drink diet soda basically all day. I'm immune to that stuff at this point. It does nothing for me. If you need a little, a big part of this is, I've had these supplements before. You take these energy supplements, and you wind up with this like immediate peak of high energy, and then it dies really fast, and you got to deal with the jitters. That is not what Dawn to Dusk does. It's a nice, easy release over 10 hours, and it's going to cost a heck of a lot less than 7 cups of coffee a day. If you want something that's going to not make you crash, and it's going to give you a boost and increase your focus, this is for you. Get 15% off a 1-month supply with the offer code STEW at checkout when you go to BrickHouseStew.com. BrickHouseStew.com. Check it out, BrickHouseStew.com. Hey, it is Pat and Stu, 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. I have a show format question for you, Pat.
All right.
I know we can't do this bit, but are we allowed to laugh at it? What if we turn our microphones off that's while others are laughing at it?
Okay.
Because I don't think we're allowed to laugh at it.
You know what? No one's allowed to laugh at it. Everyone should shut their mic off while this video is running.
So if you're viewing or listening to this program,
do not laugh.
You dare not laugh.
Do not laugh at this.
I challenge you to not laugh.
Don't do it.
But I found this a while ago. We got to play this because this is so unbelievably funny. Key and Peele with a little... you'll see.
They're mocking sports.
They're mocking sports. And here it is.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Stass, alongside Jeff Worthing, and welcome to the annual East-West Bowl. As we get ready to watch some of the best college players in the nation showcase their skills in a classic showdown between East and West. And there really are some characters on this year's squads, aren't there, Jeff?
That's right, Dave. It does seem like the most flamboyant personalities came to the forefront, and they are here. Let's meet the players from the East.
DeMarcus Williams, University of Georgia.
T.J. Jackson, Wayne State University.
Tavarius Nith King, Merrimack College.
Todd Royal, Smoochie Wallace, University of Miami.
Desquarius Green Jr., University of Notre Dame.
Ibrahim Moizus, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Jack Marius Tacktheratrix, Michigan State University.
Isaiah T. Billings Clive, Coastal Carolina University.
The Jasper Probenkruk III, South Carolina State University.
Leoz Maxwell Jillio, East Carolina University.
Javarison Lamar, University of Middle Tennessee.
The Hoyne Shower Handle, University of Southern Mississippi.
Hingle McCringleberry, Iowa State University.
The Carpetron Duke Marion, University.
Dinklage Morgan, University of South Florida.
X Miss Jackson Flaxen Waxen, California, University of Pennsylvania.
We're going to be looking for big plays all game long from Tyrol Smoochie Wallace.
And let's not forget the tight ends, Ibrahim Moizus and Hingle McCringleberry. They had an amazing season.
That's right, Jeff.
Hingle McCringleberry.
I love that. Okay, and they haven't even introduced the West yet.
Oh, yeah, the West is good, too.
So here comes the West team that we all love.
Now let's meet the players from the West.
Vegetarian Jeffers Ben, Texas A&M,
Dick Lester, how Duncan should.
Swarovski, L. Gooding, Splat. Saskatchewan University.
Quattro, Quattro. San Jose State University.
Oshawa, Taz. Buckshank.
Stanford University.
These are 12 washing beard.
Jones College.
Shakira Kwan, TGIF, Carter. University of Northern Arizona.
X Wayne, at Aliciousness, Missouri Western State University.
Sequester Grundle Plith, MD, Adam State.
Stoy's Velociraptor Malois, South Dakota State University.
TJ, AJ, RJ, / 4th, the 5th, Albion College.
San Diego State University.
Donkey Teeth. Boise State University.
Torque.
Lewis.
Nevada State. Penitentiary.
The player formerly known as Mouse Cop. University of Missouri, Columbia.
Dan Smith, BYU.
Hey, wait, we're not supposed to be laughing.
Right, that's right.
Oh, that
was,
what are you doing?
I was laughing at what you said off the air,
oh,
Jeffy.
Okay,
of course, your whole chicken.
Because what we just saw there was not funny.
No, it was not.
Except, well, I will say, the last one was very funny. That yes. White person that they were
very
mocking
funny.
His culture
did not have a colorful
that
name.
That was right, and that was funny.
Right,
but mm-hmm. the rest of them were not funny because
funny.
You're not allowed to laugh at anything except for people from BYU. That is
right.
actually the
right.
only thing allowed. You're allowed that you can laugh at as much as you want. You can win. You can win. You win Tonys. In fact, like dozens of Tonys laughing at Mormons.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, sure.
you cannot make fun of any other group.
No.
The only thing they got wrong there is Dan Smith looks a little young.
Shut up. They're doing that again, by the way. The LSU coaching staff, the players, they're all doing it. Okay, here's the breakdown. Average age of BYU.
Again. Thanks, Jeff.
21. Mm-hmm. Average age of LSU, 20. Hey, come on. Come on.
Which one's older? All right, we'll take a break. 888-737 back is the phone number. Back in a second.
Triple 8727 Beck. It's Pat and Stu. Welcome.
Do you ever watch a show for like a bunch of seasons, and like they get towards the end of this long run, and like they start introducing these weird character traits, and like it feels like the show is reaching. Mm-hmm. Have you ever feel that before? So we're in the break, and Jeffy just starts unleashing information about himself that we've never heard before. Let me give you two pieces of it. Number one, Jeffy apparently has a brother. Now, I've known Jeffy since the year 1999 and had no idea he had a brother. I've known you for 18 years, and you've never once mentioned your brother.
I mean, how is that possible?
Well, we don't get along.
Do you really not get along?
I mean, well,
for real?
You know, I mean, he's my brother.
Is he heavy?
That's the exact question I wanted to ask. So is he...
No.
No,
no, he is
he's not.
Not.
He's just the athletic.
So he's not heavy.
He's,
but he is your brother.
He is my brother.
He is your brother.
Okay, so he's your brother, and you,
what?
You're related to this person. He's not overweight, is what you're saying.
Well, he might. I mean, in today's world, I'm sure he's, you know, he's not on a scale. Everybody's obese. That's
not how it works.
That's true. That's just the way it is.
So, what can you tell? What? When's the last time you saw him?
A long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, would you consider yourself estranged from this person?
No, just what's, you know, I talk to him. I grew up with him.
Yeah. That's your...
Okay.
So there's obviously...
You don't call?
No, there's not someone there.
On Christmas, you talk to him on Christmas?
Sometimes. Okay, so my brother was born to... He should have been born in another part of time. Okay. another part of time.
Okay. What do you mean?
He likes living in the mountains and being away from things and people.
Okay, so he's like...
For a while he was living in the Great Smoky Mountains.
Really?
And from time to time, when he'd come down off the mountain, he would climb the pole and call. The phone that he could use was at the top of the phone line pole.
So he was a little bit of a survivalist or something.
Yes, and then he would, then he hopped the trains across the country, and he would work part time at some of the fields and pick blueberries and strawberries around the country for a little cash.
Is he married?
I don't think he's married to this one now. He's got the.
This is fascinating.
Is he older than you or younger?
He's got a couple of kids. No, he's younger.
He's younger than you.
Yeah. Well, there's no one older.
Right, yeah, so. There's.
That's a lie.
In fact, a lot of people thought he was my kid. Anyway.
So that's, I think that's so there you go. Interesting. I mean, and I will say, excellent work by the control room today with the I'm the fat brother and I'm the city slicker.
Oh, I'm glad they're on it.
They're on it. They're on it.
I'm glad they're on it. Good.
But like, what we missed, I think, because we've known a lot about Jeffy's history, but we don't know how old he is. But we do know, he's obviously done a lot of terrible things in his life. And I think you'd admit that.
I think we have a different definition of terrible.
I think that's true. We definitely do. However, there apparently was a heroic time in Jeffy's life in response to a hurricane. Well, here we are talking about Hurricane Harvey this whole week, and Jeffy just throws out there, quote, I evacuated a hospital once.
Well, they're evacuating a hospital in Beaumont, Texas, as we speak, from Hurricane Harvey. And,
right.
I know how frustrating and how tough it is to evacuate a hospital, because I assisted in evacuating a hospital back in... whenever Elena was in Florida, 84, 85, something like that.
18?
Over Labor Day. Yeah, I mean, Labor Day weekend. And I helped evacuate a hospital. She might have been my wife by then. Was the director of nursing of a local hospital. And so we had to evacuate the hospital. And, you carry patients out and do everything. Now, I will say the good thing, and some people forget that when you evacuate a hospital, that means nobody's in there.
Are you
alluding to the fact that you stole drugs?
No, you can take it any way you want. I'm just saying that when you evacuate a hospital, no one's in there.
So even when you were being a hero, you were being a dirtbag.
Wow. Why should that surprise us?
It
shouldn't, right?
It shouldn't at all.
All right.
That's fascinating. At some point, I would love to know how a person who could be smart and as much of a do-gooder of a person who would be the director of nursing in a hospital got with you. Like, how did that... Yeah. That's a whole nother...
Once you get some Jeffy loves, too.
Oh, jeez.
I gotta say, that
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I kind of believe that, to be perfectly frank.
Oh, man.
All right. So we've got a lot going on in the country right now. Obviously, the hurricane is the big thing. There's civil unrest in some parts of the country. I mean, you saw Berkeley. Even Nancy Pelosi is now coming out against Antifa.
Yeah.
That's how far we are on this road. And now more than ever, we really need to do to kind of come together and stand for what we believe in. What is that? I don't know anymore. I mean, I believe it's limited government. I believe it's freedom of speech. I believe it's the right to bear arms, these basic things that are in the Constitution. Good place to start, if nothing else, right?
Yeah, we can't let disasters or unrest take those rights away from us. And there are companies who are trying to do just that.
Never let a crisis go to waste, Pat. There's one company out there still fighting for your values. It's Patriot Mobile.
Patriot Mobile offers nationwide talk and text, 4G, high-speed 4G LTE, and competitive rates. In fact, really low prices that are lower than what you're paying now. And then they donate up to 5% of your monthly bill to a conservative organization like the NRA, for instance, or the Heritage Foundation.
Let me give you an example of their low rates, the ones that Pat is discussing. Right now, you go to patriotmobile.com/Pat and Stu. You're going to take advantage of their back-to-school special. Now, you get unlimited talk, text, and data. Unlimited. All along with a free Samsung or iPhone for a flat fee of $55 per month. And you're not going to sacrifice anything with service.
So use the promo code BACKTOSCHOOL, and they'll also waive your activation fee, too. PatriotMobile.com/Pat and Stu. PatriotMobile.com/Pat and Stu. Or 1-800-A-PATRIOT. That's 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Hello, Pat and Stu, 888-727-BECK. The Pope has sounded off again. He wants us to listen to the cry of the earth.
Bless his heart.
You know, after Hurricane Harvey in Houston and Corpus and Port Aransas, you got to listen to the cry of the earth. The earth is crying. Hey! Hey!
I'm hot.
You're killing me here. And so I got no choice but to send these storms.
And we're going to make it rain because, you know what? There's never been a biblical example of too much rain. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, except for, yes, there has.
Well, not like Houston. There's never been a flood like Houston right. In biblical history. Yeah, I'll tell you that
much. It was a flood that covered the entire earth. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
You know, sure.
Entire earth, Houston, oh, I know. Same thing.
Pat, you got to excuse Pat here for a second. He's, you know, he's one of these Christians, but he doesn't know that was just a Russell Crowe movie. it's called Noah.
So he said, listen to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor who suffer most because of the unbalanced ecology.
Thank you.
Good golly.
That's not the first time he's
coming. No, he's very much on the global warming.
He's huge into the global warming.
Big environmentalist pope. Yes. Which is odd because, I mean, it's always interesting to, you know, to see, you know, these things happen because, like, there's differences in policies, which is, it's weird, right? Like, it's like.
It is weird.
If you're a religious leader, like, I always find that, and I found this to be, by the way, all throughout Christianity, I don't know, in the last year or so, where principles that seem to be principles.
Completely out the window
for other reasons. Like by a lot of people.
Yes.
Man, did that happen a lot?
Say there are other examples.
Year or so. Huh.
Yes, there are examples.
There were real examples of
There's
that.
There's a lot of examples of that.
A lot
but
of
you thought people had principles,
and then they weren't there.
And they weren't there. Well, it was it Jim Baker? Jim Baker the other day, who we haven't heard from in a while, but he's off sounding off about how people are. Like offending God who don't like Trump or something? I mean, what are you talking about?
Yeah, or they were saying, I think he was saying if he was impeached, they would start a civil war.
Right.
Yeah. And he's like, I believe the quote was something to the effect of, you know what? Christians have been waiting in the shadows for too long, and if this happens, we're going to start a civil war. And
right.
It's very, exactly that wording, but it was close to
pretty
it.
Close.
It's
really
like,
close
I,
to it.
I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to start any civil wars anytime soon. I'm going to stay away from them. I feel like they don't go that well.
I mean, they act like Trump is God's messenger on earth.
That's so strange.
Like he's a prophet, not a president. It's just really a weird, I don't know how this happened.
Especially because it's not even like he plays the game of a Christian.
Not
like, he's not even trying to tell you that he's, I mean like.
The guy is clearly not even open the Bible.
And we just had the latest poll from Fox News, right, where it's over 50% people think he's pulling the nation apart. I mean.
It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
That's not Christian.
So you're right.
It's not
just the Pope saying
it really is
political things.
It's a widespread thing.
Yeah,
it's a widespread thing right now.
The earth has gone mad.
It's hard to understand. 888-727-BECK is our number. We'll talk to you later. And by the way, I love you. I love you so much.
Thank you.
See you later. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. I love you too.